Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Extreme Measures by Mark Stevens, narrated by Ramon Diocampo. 1. My mixed-race crew and I pulled off some high-risk missions in the last few months, one of which was capturing the supposed king of the pirates, Iger. It was a feat that took us the better part of 2 years. I now stood outside of the brig on my ship, the Legacy, with a scowl on my face. The principal investigator for the Chalt people, Sail Nolan, was giving me a summary on her interrogation of Iger. My first officer and significant other, Tria, who was also of the Chalt race, stood holding my arm. On the other side of me was Clutch, my Tybor troopmaster. Standing next to him was the other member of my crew responsible for helping capture Iger, Kuntz, of the Grol race. The looks they were giving the principal investigator were going from bad to worse. Sail just explained the reason we captured Iger, wearing some frilly-looking junk armor. The armor was only worn at Murlac royal weddings, and Iger was the groom-to-be. Sail went on to explain that the pirate had talked his way into the royal family via marriage to a pre-selected member of royal Murlac descent. The piece of scat was getting all of his murderous sins forgiven by agreeing to give up the pirate life and turning over his massive cache of ill-gotten goods to the royal family. The booty ended up in my possession as well. I tried to calm myself so my response would not be the oath-laden tirade that was dancing about my brain. Sail? How can we believe anything that deceitful coward has to say? Sail stared me in the eyes.
If it was only his word, I would doubt him as well. There is no other reasonable explanation for the armor. I have carefully inspected it, and it appears to be a genuine relic of the Murlac royal family. It is adorned with the names of every royal family member who has ever worn it. Iger's name is now etched into it. Murlac law forbids all but the royal family to wear it.
I personally didn't care if the murdering bastard was wearing a tutu. He wasn't going to walk away free, no matter what story he cooked up. The air around us was getting fouler by the minute, and we all started stepping away from the troopmaster. I cast him a stern look. Clutch, you are not helping matters.
Commander, Clutch said, pounding his fist together, let me have some time alone with him, and I will find out if he tells the truth.
We already knew how the troopmaster conducted his interrogations. His methods might be better described as atrocities. It was questionable whether or not all the information he attained was accurate. Anyone fortunate enough to live through the interrogation was more than willing to agree to his suppositions. By the way Kuntz was eyeing Clutch, I knew he was going to give us his 2 cents worth, no matter if we needed it or not.
Commander, he said, looking out of the corner of his eyes at Clutch, perhaps if someone of greater intellect was to question the Murlac, we might gain enough insight to decipher his subterfuge.
I felt Tria squeeze my arm as I looked to the overhead, slowly shaking my head. This was getting more complicated by the minute. Tria whispered to me,
if I knew capturing the pirate would cause so much trouble, I would have killed him.
I gave her a small nod of my head, because when we went after Iger, it was my intention to kill him, repercussions be damned. When the unexpected opportunity presented itself to capture Iger alive, Tria made the decision to do so for the wealth of information he would most assuredly possess. At the time, it was the most logical course of action. It was way too late to change what happened. What was done is done. The assertion that the entire Murlac race would hunt me down if we didn't let Iger go free would have been a meaningless threat if I had not made the mistake of intentionally letting a witness escape, as a warning to other pirates. Every time I show a little mercy, it comes back to bite me in the ass. I was going to seriously revisit that faulty way of thinking. Sail and Clutch were both giving Kuntz a glare after his intended, or possibly unintended, swipe at their IQs. I had to give the Grol his due, because he was more or less correct. A greater intellect might clear the air and disclose how much truth was in Iger's disclosure. I called to Justice, the artificial intelligence that controlled the Legacy. This earned me a small grimace from Kuntz. Justice, what do you make of the Murlac's confessions? Commander, after carefully analyzing the principal investigator's interactions with Iger, the pirates exhibited biometrics indicated a small percentage of deceit when it came to questions concerning the amount of his collected wealth to be given away. The questions related to his marital affiliation with the Murlac royal family lacked any perceived duplicity. I did note his threat that the Murlac people would hunt you relentlessly if he is not released had a distinct edge of certainty to it. I looked at my crew members to see what reaction they had to Justice's disclosure. They didn't seem to give a damn, one way or the other. Sail Nolan was the exception. She wore a frown on her face. I didn't know it was eating at her. We have always had conflict with the Murlacs. All my past experiences with them ended in violence. They were a lot like the Skrun. They were always up to no good.
Why the sour face, Sail?
You can't possibly think that I will let Iger walk because he was going to marry a Murlac royal.
I have a feeling you will end the pirate's life before you can take the time to thoroughly consider all options, she said.
Her comment was, for the most part, correct. I was thinking I would have a discussion with Iger. If he did not come up with some really good reasons why I should not kill him, other than it would ruin his life as a royal, he would be taking a walk in the void. I almost smiled, thinking Kuntz and Klatch would be wagering on how much longer Iger would continue to waste our oxygen supply. When in doubt about validity of hearsay, go to the source. With my crew and the operative in tow, I walked into the brig.
Justice, open Iger's cell.
The cell wall went translucent, and the door opened. Iger was sitting on the edge of a bunk, and quickly stood. His beat-up ceremonial armor and dented helmet lay on the bunk. I turned to my crew and Sail, then pointed at the benches outside of the cell. Kuntz and Klatch quickly sat, whispering back and forth between themselves. Sail must have heard what they were saying, or betting on, and chose to sit on a separate bench. Tria, on the other hand, would have none of it, and stood at my side, giving me her "hell no" look. Rather than look back at Sail to see what she thought of Tria's lack of decorum, I walked into the cell with her at my side. She did, after all, make the decision to take Iger alive. The few times I have had the displeasure of speaking to the pirate, it was always on his terms. Now they were on mine. The frown on his face said that he never knew what I actually looked like until now. I would speak from a position of power, so he would understand in no uncertain terms just where his future stood with me.
The only reason you still live is my first officer believes you have information we can use. If you make me feel otherwise, as sure as the stars shine in this galaxy, I am going to kill you.
The frown disappeared from his face, but the look in his eyes said it was long overdue for an exorcism. When he set his stance and tensed his muscles, the Ulleran beast imprinted into my brain clawed its way into my consciousness from some dark hidden place. My respiration stepped up a notch, and I turned sideways to him. Iger was now giving me his full attention. He was a couple of inches taller than Tria, who was a head taller than me. His shoulders were as broad as mine, and the muscles in his arms considerable. I was sure he didn't get to the top of the pirate food chain by being a second-rate brawler. A small smile flashed across his furry face. He obviously thought he had better-than-average odds of kicking my ass. The beast was starting to push all my go buttons, when Tria did the most unexpected thing. She came around with a lightning-quick kick that momentarily changed the shape of Iger's face. His mistake of ignoring her as a potential threat and discounting her abilities caused him a mouthful of his front teeth. He rebounded off the cell wall and onto the floor. When he tried to push himself up from the deck, she kicked his left elbow with such ferocity it reversed in a very unnatural direction. The pirate went face down, choking on his teeth and groaning in pain. I heard a howling laughter from outside of the cell and turned to see Klatch slapping Kuntz on the shoulder, saying he now owed him an additional 20,000 credits. Grimacing, I turned back, staring wide-eyed at Tria. She stood over the pirate with a look of rage on her face. Iger was spitting teeth from his wrecked mouth and made another mistake. He reached up toward Tria with his good arm in what may have been a gesture of capitulation. It was another bad decision on his part. She grabbed his outstretched fingers with both hands and violently jerked them in opposite directions, ripping his hand almost in half. Now the pirate was screaming. That pushed the pause button on my interrogation. Now everyone stood staring at the mess Tria had made out of Iger in less than 2 minutes. Her Ularan muscle enhancements weren't as pronounced as mine and Kuntz, but it was obvious her strength and fighting skills made her a very deadly opponent. Iger rolled over onto his back and used his legs to push himself into the corner of the cell. A gory trail of blood and teeth marked his progress. His howls of pain subsided into non-stop groaning. Tria bent down, and I thought she might give him another attitude adjustment. She instead hissed down at him.
"I am the only reason you are still alive. My commander would have killed you. This is the only leniency you will receive. You will answer our questions without hesitation, or I will slowly emasculate you with my boot."
Iger gurgled out something that sounded like a positive reply. We thought Tria might be done, but she did the most unladylike thing. She hocked up a mouthful of spittle and deposited it on Iger's face.
"This is for the beating you and your cohorts gave me. Now we are just about even."
Kuntz, Sale, and I were just a little shocked, but not Clutch. He broke into a braying laugh that instantly annoyed me. When he saw the stern look, it quickly trailed off into a snicker as he departed the brig. Kuntz just shrugged his shoulders and followed him out. Sale stepped into the cell and looked down at Iger.
"He will probably die if he is not treated for his injuries. That outcome will not net any usable intel."
To our surprise, Justice broadcast over the cell intercom system in an unusually deadpan voice.
"He will live."
If that was Justice's prognosis, I was good with it. Iger's face was now a swollen, bloody mess, so I decided he should have a little time alone to thoroughly assess his future. "Justice, his care is in your hands. We will come back later to start the interrogation process once again."
Justice commented again in the same deadpan voice. "He will be fine."
With that, Tria and I walked out of the brig with Sale following. We were approximately 11 light years from Alpha Base and holding at a jump point. We had rendezvoused with our Zane flagged freighter full of Iger's pirate loot. It was currently a couple of thousand yards off our stern. The SIG crew manning it were waiting for new jump coordinates. I had decided after talking with Tria it might be a good idea to consult with everyone on Alpha Base concerning my plans to reveal the location of our home to the SIG. Kuntz was in command of the freighter, but insisted on coming aboard the Legacy when he learned we had captured Iger alive. "Justice, have you got any comms traffic for me from Alpha Base?"
"Negative, Commander. I will alert you as soon as I receive a reply."
"Since I have yet to ask you, Justice, I would like to hear what you think about letting the SIG know the coordinates of Alpha Base."
"Commander, I believe your alliance with the SIG has been a lot less troubling than our affiliation with the Chult."
While the comment rolled right off Tria's shoulders, it registered as a slap in the face to Sale. To her credit, she clenched her teeth and bit down on the rant she was going to spew at the AI. She knew Justice was right, but was not about to admit it. She silently followed us with a dark scowl on her face.
"Commander, I have a transmission from Alpha Base. Jaren said to relay it to you."
"Okay, Justice. What did he have to say?"
"It was not word for word, but it was basically the same evaluation that I had already given you, prior to the communication."
Sale stepped up beside me, and I could see she was on the verge of a meltdown.
"Commander Myers, the sooner I return to your base and board my shuttle, the sooner you will be rid of me. I have better things to do than listen to the insubordinate scat coming from the defective AI that runs this ship."
I was not in the mood to hear a full-blown bickering contest between Sale and Justice. I had a lot of irons in the fire, and nursing Sale's bruised ego wasn't one of them. "Justice, transfer Alpha Base's coordinates to our freighter and tell Kuntz to get back aboard and moving ASAP. Jump us home as soon as he debarks."
"Affirmative, Commander. Moving alongside the freighter now, and I will be ready for dead core operations in T-minus 15 minutes. Sale stormed off toward the hangar bay. I felt like I should say something to soothe her feelings, but was having a hard time thinking what that might be. At this point, I didn't think we were going to have any formal farewells or other pleasantries when we returned to base. Tria gave me a nudge with her elbow. Admittedly, the principal investigator is a pain, but if it were not for her, we would not have the advanced manufacturing systems that give us an edge over our adversaries. Tria was right. I also had to admit that once Sale got over not leading our last combat mission, she was a valuable asset to our team. The loss of her ship by an apparent mutiny or defection was tearing at her soul, and might be part of the explanation for her contemptuous, split personality. We just needed some time apart. In the past, it always seemed to heal most of the anger issues she had with me. I really didn't want Sale going away mad, I just wanted her to go away. I took a deep breath and slowly let it out. Rubbing ointment on Sale's sore ass was going to be on my to-do list after all. Sale, hold up a minute. She threw up two of her arms, waving me off, and kept going. I picked up my pace and caught up with her. Sale, Justice is just messing with you. While there is some truth to what he is saying, I think you are taking it out of context. The Chalt people, and you in particular, are an extremely valuable asset to us. She finally stopped walking and turned to me. The look in her eye said that she knew bullshit when she hears it. A properly functioning AI does not mess with command authority, she replied. I knew this wasn't going to be easy. Sale, Justice is still working on whether or not you are command authority. She crossed both sets of arms and squinted her eyes at me. I knew a change of subject was in order. Sale, you know our freighter has a huge assortment of valuable artifacts and currency aboard. There is no way for us to determine who the rightful owners are. We would like the majority of the haul to go to the Primitive Planet Protection Fund. Since we wish to remain anonymous, I would like you to personally handle the donation. We are okay with it being from the Chalt people, less, of course, any handling fees your council might assess on such a large transaction. That wiped the steely-eyed glare I was getting right off her face. She quickly turned away to try to hide a reaction to my statement. It gave me a sense of accomplishment, knowing I just handled the dilemma of what to do with such a large amount of blood money, and at the same time smoothing over the friction created by Justice's guileless commentary. I turned and saw Tria nodding to me with a smile on her face. I winked and blew her a kiss. The human gesture always seemed to make her laugh. This time, however, she covered her mouth and pointed behind me. I turned back around and found the principal investigator in my close personal space, once again giving me a piercing stare. The look quickly disappeared, and she shook her head, letting just the hint of a grin cross her face.
Just when I lose all hope that one day you will be something more than a simple-minded primate, you prove me wrong.
I am not sure what you mean, Principal Investigator. My only ambitions in life are to efficiently stack scat and fornicate.
Ha! She barked. Now we are getting somewhere.
I smiled, knowing she just needed to blow off some steam. It was a shame my ass was the target when her check valve reached its limit.
Nathan, she said, I know our relationship has been thorny, but I want you to know I am working on it. Your command decisions are at times compulsive and unnecessarily perilous, but I must admit the results are usually unquestionable. I am sure Tria has already pointed out I have trained my entire life to be a leader of my people's military. To find myself in a position where I am following an alien whose race has yet to venture any further than their own local moon is demoralizing. For a Chalt military officer of my rank to be taken orders from a male of such a race is maddening. Adapting to your unique command style is a challenge I find myself failing at times. But for what it is worth, if given the future opportunity, I would follow you without hesitation.
I noticed she did not go as far as saying she would follow orders without her usual bitching and moaning, but for now, I was good with it. Tria stepped to my side and grasped my hand, as my reality faded away in the bright, cascading whitewash of a deadcore transition. 2. My return to normal space-time was accompanied by the usual data dump from Justice. Commander, I have no anomalous activity to report, and will make a straight-in approach to Alpha Base. Kuntz and our freighter will be exiting hyperspace in approximately 16 minutes. I have contacted Jaren, and he has alerted the scientists that we will be offloading the freighter's cargo for inventory. Thank you, Justice. As soon as we land, I want our combat armor transferred to Felix for repairs and resupply. Affirmative, Commander. Zul has already made the arrangements. Zul was the Legacy's Grawl science officer and artifact specialist. He, like Kuntz, was another shining example of what the Grawl race could be if they were to change their current mindset. The Grawl, as a rule, only cared for themselves, and concentrated on how much tech and wealth they could collect, steal, or otherwise. Since he joined the crew of the Legacy from the scientists' ranks, he had taken it upon himself to be our backup shuttle pilot and battlesuit maintenance officer, along with his other duties. Justice set us down in the hangar bay of Alpha Base, and we debarked to find our entire clan had gathered outside. The Grawl scientists and Felix lined both sides of the boarding ramp and warmly greeted us back home. All made hand contact with each of us. To Sail Nal in surprise, they held their hands out to her as well. The neutral expression on her face slowly changed to a smile as she embraced the spirit of the moment and made hand contact with all the members of my clan. The scientists moved off to the artifact storage building. The large overhead door was open, and several cargo transports sat ready in anticipation of the freighter's arrival. Tria and I caught up with Sail before she boarded her shuttle. Sail, you are welcome to stay and take part in the cataloging of the freighter's contents.
No, Nathan. I have a lot to think about and need some time alone. As you probably already suspect, I will have to make a detailed report on all of my interactions with you. I need the time to decide just how much of the report I will actually disclose to my superiors.
With that, she turned and boarded her shuttle. Tria and I stood and watched as it finally lifted off the deck and silently accelerated down the entrance tunnel toward the void beyond. I took Tria's hand and walked toward the artifact building. She squeezed my hand.
The time she needs alone will have more to do with how she wants to spin the report than how the events actually happened, she said.
I laughed. That was what I was thinking as well. I am glad you said it before I did. Justice called to us. Commander, our freighter has arrived in system, and Kuntz is requesting landing clearance. Bring them in, Justice. Let's make it a group effort to get it offloaded and sanitized, so we can send it back to Outpost 9765 as soon as possible. I have to make good on a promise to Broza and Hylet that we would have a new freighter for them to make use of. After we get the freighter turned around and out of here, I want to report on the current state of all our prisoners.
Roger that, Commander. Freighter ETA, 21 minutes.
21 minutes would not be near enough time for the personal debriefing I was going to give Tria. I could see Jaren and Graf standing to the side of the gathered scientists and looking in our direction. If I had to guess, I would say they were waiting for both Tria and I. The two Grawl saw us moving in their direction and met us halfway. They greeted us again and made hand contact. Then Jaren stepped forward.
Commander Myers, I have a report on the facility upgrades that have been added in your absence. Unless Justice's subsystem has alerted you of our work, I would like to brief you.
I smiled at the two Grawl. Jaren, as long as we are not in the presence of guests, I would prefer that my clan members address me as Nathan. A Grawl smile is not a pretty sight, but I had grown used to the expression and now appreciated it for what it was.
Nathan, the scientists and I have taken the liberty of building individual quarters in the bunk hall. They are small and Spartan, but now all of the scientists have a semblance of privacy and an area to store our personal items.
I had no problem with that whatsoever. A while back, I gave Felix permission to build his own private quarters, along with the replicator building. While Felix's residence could in no way be described as Spartan, it did contain a project workstation in his rather large sleeping quarters. The brilliant young replicator engineer was full of ideas. He obviously felt the need to store them for future use, no matter what time it was.
Charon, this is your home as well as mine. Please feel free to modify it any manner necessary to make you and the scientists more comfortable. This earned me another smile from both the Grawl scientists.
We are glad that you and the crew of the Legacy have returned safely. I will leave you now so that Graf can give you his report,
Charon said. With that, he turned away, leaving Graf to come forward. Tria and I knew that at some point, Justice's subsystem would have given us a full report on all base activities. I personally liked the interaction with the senior scientists. It was easier for me to get a feeling of what they were thinking and what mood my clan was in as a whole.
Nathan, Tria, I would like to report on the prisoner, Ilum Pove. After your departure on your last mission, Pove became exceptionally violent and irrational. Since he was moved to the escape tunnel security cells, it was necessary to bring his meals down to him. Charon and I took on the duty, so none of the other scientists would be subjected to his bizarre behavior.
I frowned. What kind of bizarre behavior are we talking about? Graf held a data recorder out to me.
Perhaps it would be best if you saw for yourself.
He handed over the recorder. Tria and I stared at it in disbelief of what we were seeing and hearing. Pove was screaming and ranting that if the Grawl did not release him, Iger would kill them all, then hunt down all of their clan siblings and kill them as well. All the time he was doing this, he was drawing crude Grawl travesties in different poses of death, with his own fecal matter. I glanced up at Graf. I hope you cut off his rations to put an end to his madness.
No. Having been a prisoner once myself and starved, I could not muster enough anger to do the same to him. I chose instead to give him a single serving of pungo with his water ration poured over it, Graf said.
I knitted my eyebrows. What is pungo?
It is a slang Grawl term for the base protein most food rations are made of.
It lacks any of the flavoring and processing that makes it an edible staple to most all races. Whenever any of the scientists and I fell from favor back on the research station you rescued us from, we were fed pungo until we could present our masters with favorable results.
I shut the recorder off in disgust at the animalistic behavior of the Murloc. I take it you received favorable results?
While it did quiet his ranting, it did not stop him from his grotesque artwork. I shut down the enclosure's nanoscrubbers, so he would no longer have a clean surface to work with. The walls are caked with his excrement, and he must live with the stench of his handiwork.
Tria and I were appalled at what Pove was doing. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Clutch working with the scientists unloading the freighter. I let out a shrill whistle that got everyone's attention. I yelled out to the troopmaster and waved him over. Clutch, I need your help. The Tybor stopped loading the transport he was on and came jogging over to us.
What can I do for you, Commander?
I need you to put Iger in the cell next to Ilum Pove. The wicked smile on Clutch's face said he would love nothing better. Clutch, I need him to arrive alive and in the same shape he is currently in. My statement got us just the faintest whiff of his displeasure, earning him a grimace from the three of us. Troopmaster, I don't mind if Iger knows how much you dislike him. It is not necessary to prove it to us. With that, he gave us his usual goofy grin and stomped off to retrieve the Murloc from the Legacy. Turning back to Graf, I gave him instructions on how I would like the matter of Pove's filthy behavior handled. Graf, once the Troopmaster has Iger settled into his cell, I want you to activate the scrubbers on the shared wall between them. If Pove starts with his scat artwork again, give him a few minutes and then clear the wall so he can show off his handiwork to Iger. That should give both of them something to think about. Graf gave me a nod and headed to the lifts that take you to the subterranean tunnel system. At some point, I would let Pove know in no uncertain terms he was expendable now that we had Iger. I was pretty sure that would be a potent antidote to his prehistoric behavior. A groaning noise caught our attention. Tria and I turned in time to see a grav gurney with Iger strapped to it go sailing by. The groaning was coming from Iger because Clutch had chosen to ride on it. He was sitting on the pirate's legs, all 600-plus pounds.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?